Today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, continuing in canto number 8, chapter number 18, text number 6. So I'll read out the verse. Dvadasyam dasyam savita istham madhyandina gatorpu Vijaya nama sa prokta yasyan janma vidur hare. Translation by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. O King, please repeat. O King, when the Lord appeared on Dvadasi, the 12th day of the moon, the sun was at the meridian. As every learned scholar knows, this Dvadasi is called Vijaya. There's no purport, so I'll read the next one. That's text number 7. Conch shells, kettle drums, panavas, and anakas vibrated in concert. The sound of these and various other instruments was tumultuous. Text 8. Being very pleased, the celestial dancing girls, apsaras, danced in jubilation. The best of the Gandharvas sang songs, and the great sages, demigods, manus, pitas, and fire gods offered prayers to satisfy the Lord. The siddhas, Vidyadharas, Kimapurushas, Kinaras, Charanas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Suparanas, and best of serpents and the followers of the demigods all showered flowers on Aditi's residence, covering the entire house while glorifying and praising the Lord and dancing. Text 11. When Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared from her own womb, having accepted a transcendental body by his own spiritual potency, she was struck with wonder and was very happy. Upon seeing the child, Prajapati Kashyapa exclaimed, "Jai Jai," in great happiness and wonder. Text number 12. This has purport. The Lord appeared in his original form with ornaments and weapons in his hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nevertheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmin dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The word Nataha is significant. An actor changes dresses to play different parts but is always the same man. Similarly, as described in the Brahma Samhita 5.33 and 5.39, the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms. Advaitam achyutam anadi ananta rupam adyam purana purusham. He is always present with innumerable incarnations. Ramadi murtesyu kala niyamena tistham nanavartam akrod puvanesu kintu. Nonetheless, although he appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person with the same potency, the same eternity and the same spiritual existence. But he can simultaneously assume various forms. When Vamandeva appeared from the womb of his mother, he appeared in the form of Narayan, with four hands, equipped with the necessary symbols of weapons, and then immediately transformed himself into a brahmachari vatu. This means that his body is not material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body is not intelligent. He has to learn more about the Lord's position. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9,
Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo viti tattvita taktva deham punarjanma neti mameti so Arjuna.
One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord in his original transcendental body, sat chit anand vigraha. Reading from Canto 8, Chapter 18, Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Vamandev, the dwarf incarnation. Yesterday there was a very good lecture given by my godbrother about the previous shloka, and he emphasized that Chakravarti Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is an expert astrologer. And these expert astrologers, through the Ivam Parampara, from Bhrigu Muni, can tell us how the Lord appears and when he appears. They can even tell us how the parts and parcels of the Lord, that is us, because we are not the body, we are soul. We are also very tiny, 1/10,000th of a tip of a hair of the Lord's own Satchit Anand Vigraha. So this word also mentioned in this verse, Sat Chit Anand Vigraha, is very important. We as human beings gathered here in this hall have only one function. Remember this. We have in this world only one function, and that is this 4.9 of Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma cha me divyam. Please repeat. Janma karma cha me divyam. Evam to viti tatvata. To viti tatvata. Taktva deham punarjanma. Deham punarjanma. Naiti maam eti so Arjuna. So, if we as human beings, because animals cannot do this, no other creatures can do it on this earth. So, we as human beings, first and foremost, have to understand the divine appearance, janma karma cha me divyam. Divyam means divine. So, we have to first understand the divine appearance of the Lord. And second, his divine karmas. We have no divine appearance. So that makes a big distinction between us and the Lord. Anyone says that I am Bhagavan, or somebody claims that my guru is Bhagavan, that's all nonsense. Because otherwise, here is Srimad Bhagavatam explaining that when the Lord himself descends, he comes from the womb of his mother just to please the mother. You see, the mother is most pleased when she has a child. And he comes to this world, again in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Paritranayam sadhunam vinashaya duskritam. I first give pleasure to my devotees. And as stated in our Vedic culture, it is matru devo pitru devo. So first you have to give honor to your mother, and second, honor to your father. So the Lord also gives first honor to his mother. So he gives her pleasure. Honor is given not by displeasure. Honor is given by giving somebody pleasure, isn't it? So he gives pleasure to his mother, and the mother gets astonished. But she is very, very happy that she has a child. But she is shocked. Why? Because here is a child appearing fully bedecked with all jewelry, clothes, dhoti of all things, and having wonderful paraphernalia around him, and with four arms. Why four arms? Again in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that he is equal to all. He is equal to the non-devotees and he is equal to the devotees. For the asuras, who are non-devotees, he has two hands. And in these two hands, he has two weapons. One, to hit the person with a club, and the other to chop his head off with the chakra. Because that is necessary. That's his mercy.
so that the person can again take a proper birth. But for the devotee, he gives him a touch of the conch shell, just as he did Dhruva Maharaj. He touched him on the head with his conch shell, and automatically a 5-year-old child started speaking beautiful verses in Sanskrit. The other is the lotus. For the male Dhruva Maharaj boy, he gave a touch of the conch shell. And for the ladies, they love always the flowers. So, gives her the lotus. Actually, Lakshmiji also, as you may have seen in many pictures, is the daughter of the king of the ocean, or the Varuna. So, she also appears with elephant who has a lotus which is offered to her. So, now this is the secret for all, not brahmacharis, I'm talking about non-brahmacharis, how to please a woman, give flowers. So, this is the first step, that we have to see that the Lord is, first thing is to remark within ourselves, understand, the Lord is always equal to all. But His equality is such that His consciousness is different for different people. This is an important issue. This society is known as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. International because it's everywhere. Again, Prabhupada was equal to all, whether you're black, yellow, brown, white, whatever. Second, he introduced this concept of Krishna consciousness throughout. We as Jivatmas have no possession. Our Jivatma, we are all Jivatma, as I said, we are not body, we are soul. But we have no possession. We have no ownership rights. Somebody may say, oh, I have a big bank balance. Okay, then take your bank balance when you die. It's not possible. Somebody may say, I have a big house. I have documents for the house. But then where are you? What's going to happen to that house? You leave it behind when you die. Isn't it? But there's only one thing you take with you. There's only one thing you take with you at the moment of your death. And that is your consciousness. Now, if that consciousness is cleansed and developed and it is brought to the highest platform of Krishna consciousness, then only one can enter into the highest planet of the spiritual world, from which you do not return back. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo viti tatvita tyaktva deham punarjanma. Why? Once you understand all this, you don't return back. So the question came, how did we come here in the first place? And why did we come here? If we do not return back, then how did we come here? The answer is, we got demoted. In a school, as you know, some children, very few, but some children fail sometimes. And what happens? They get demoted. So they don't get promoted, as most of the children do. So, we also as Jivatmas, who are collected, unfortunately, all of us in Kali Yuga, those who are really good Jivatmas got promoted at Satyug. Then, another lot which didn't get promoted, the second class, shall we say, in Treta Yug, they got promoted. Isn't it? Yorang Prabhuji? And the third lot went in the Dwapar Yuga. But who got left out? The residue, the bottom most. That's us. Let's be honest and sincere. That's how humbleness starts. We must become humble because we must know that we are no qualities, no qualification. We are useless. The usefulness comes only because of the mercy of the spiritual master and the Evam Parampara. Otherwise, what was it that we knew when we were born? Nothing. We only knew how to cry. That's all. And that too, only after the doctor slaps us. Then we know how to cry. Nobody teaches us how to cry. But we knew it. And that's all we knew, how to cry. We didn't even know how to earn any living when you grow up. You have to be taught. You have to be taught everything in this world. And therefore, we are always grateful to those who teach us. Therefore, it is Srila Prabhupada and the Evam Parampara, and we'll come to that matter of gratitude in a few minutes, who have made us what we are today and has given us this facility. Actually, it was Srila Prabhupada who actually had the vision of this facility. First, he had the vision of having a temple at Juhu. And he prayed to Krishna and promised to Krishna that when I return back, I will build this temple. And he fulfilled his promise. When he got down the steps of Bhartidya Bhavan, 1971, after one debate, he promised that we should have a preaching center at Chopati. Fortunately, by his mercy and by Radhanath Maharaj's immense efforts, I can vouch, I'll give you more details of that later, this center has come through. Otherwise, this center would not have been here without the mercy of these great devotees. So, when the Lord appears in what form now? Of course, he has appeared in this beautiful form of Radha Gopinathji and Gornitai, and here we have Gopalji. But the real form of the Lord is Sat Chit Anand Vigraha. We have Deha. Our body is Deha. Deha means it will perish. The word Deha means one which perishes. So how it perishes? Either it's burnt in the Samshan Ghat or it is buried in the ground and then it decomposes. Each element of the body goes back to its original element. That is mentioned in the 10th canto in chapter number 77. In that chapter, it is said that this body belongs to Mother Nature. This doesn't belong to us. We are only a temporary tenant. We are supposed to pay rent. But we don't pay rent. That's unfortunate. And that's why we are kicked out also. So, by the landlord. Is there in the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, Kshetra Kshetrajna chapter. Please read it. We are not the owner of this body. Otherwise, how we are that untimely we are kicked out? Very often, there is a very beautiful story of Prabhupada and his godbrother went to a hospital to meet one devotee. Not devotee, he was a non-devotee really, but he was a very rich man in Allahabad who used to give some contribution sometimes. So in that sense, he was a little bit of a devotee. So they took prasad, they tried to preach to him. And while they were doing that, suddenly the doctor came, was treating him, and he held the doctor's hand and wouldn't let him go. Doctor, doctor, I must live for another 4 years. Why? Because I have got so much business, I have to finish all my business. So you must see that I survive for 4 more years. Doctor said, you are having a heart attack, you are about to die, and what are you talking about 4 years? How I can give you 4 years? Nobody can. You are going to die very shortly. You are in intensive care, you are hardly able to breathe, ventilator is pumping you with air. You will go. But people don't want to go. People want to stay here forever. That is the problem. Nobody is preparing to go. Everybody is preparing to come only. How can that be possible? See? Coming and going, day and night, heat and cold, everything is there in this world on opposites. So we have to prepare not only to come to the temple, but we have to prepare to go out of the temple also. Similarly, from your house also you'll have to go. From your body also you'll have to go. But what is the preparation we have to make is very important. That preparation is chanting the Mahamantra in this Kali Yuga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This Mahamantra is a preparation. And if you don't prepare, that's your bad luck. That's unfortunate. But if you prepare, just like in an exam, if you prepare well every day, 16 rounds, just imagine you are preparing for an exam and every day you read the same chapter and the same book 16 times. By God, you are going to pass with first class honors. Distinction, definitely. Because I know I had to appear in exams and sometimes we had tough time. Because reading in the last minute, in the last night before the exam doesn't solve any problem. Isn't it? You have been to IIT, you know how it is. You have to study so hard. So this is more than an IIT exam. Believe me. The last moment, at time of death, there will be so much disturbance, both in your body and elsewhere. I have seen this in many hospitals, in the IC units, that it is impossible to concentrate unless you have practiced, 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 at least 3.5 crore times. That is what Kalisantara Upanishad says. So one has to chant the Mahamantra 3.5 crore times to go home back to Godhead. Otherwise you again start, but you're not going to make a loss. Say you finish 2 crore rounds, you'll start with 2 crore and one in the next life. And fortunately, we will be there, this con will be there, and you'll be through in the next exam. But why? Why take that chance? Why take that chance? Because you never know what is your last thought. Because the thought is another type of vehicle. The thought, Manomaya Kosh, Vigyan Maya Kosh, is like a vehicle. And the soul resides or travels on that vehicle out of this body. And if your thoughts are in the wrong direction, just like a mad captain of an aeroplane, and he forgets, he throws the manual out, he throws the map out, shuts off the computer, he says, I know how to go to London, I'll go from Bombay to London. He'll be lost totally, because all the clouds appear the same in the sky. Everything appears the same. So you're going through those clouds. Remember, when you go out of the body, you're going to go through those clouds. And if you don't have this Mahamantra Jap every time, Mahamantra Jap is just like a zooming in signal. You know, there is what is called autopilot in an aeroplane. So in an autopilot, the pilot switches off, and he really should be praying. He switches off, hoping the autopilot works. And he throws a beam, electronic beam, and that beam returns back, and the plane is then guided in that direction and even lands nicely. So this Mahamantra is an autopilot. Remember that. It will beam you in home back to Godhead. So if you let go this beam, you are lost. That is for sure. So here it is that we have this wonderful shlok where it is stated that the Lord appears in his original form. That means he has a form. The Mayavadis, unfortunately, do not think the Lord has any form. They think only Brahman is final. And Brahman takes form of Vamandev, Narsingha Bhagwan, Varaha Bhagwan, etc. But it's not true. It's written here. The Lord appeared in his original form with ornaments and weapons. Now the question is, you know, ladies are very fond of ornaments. Men are fond of weapons. But the fact of the matter is, these weapons and ornaments are also divine. They are not like our ordinary ornaments which you can buy in Jewelry Bazaar. These ornaments are actually devotees. Here's the best part. Because the gopis say that what great service has Bansuri done that she's always at the lips of Krishna. That means to say even the Bansuri is a living entity. It's a jivatma. You see, Bansuri is not just a weed or a piece of wood with some holes in it. No, Krishna's Bansuri is not like that. Our Bansuri may be like that. Because our body is also like that, made of material substance. But Krishna's Bansuri is a devotee actually, who has received the highest position of being eternally at Krishna's either hand or hip or at his lips. So all these ornaments are spiritual. Sat, Chit, Anand, they are also like that. Anything that the Lord touches becomes like that. There was a story when I was a small boy. There was King Midas. Now this King Midas, he received a boon that whatever he touched became gold. Correct? So poor fellow, if he tried to eat, what happened? It became gold. So he was starving. He said, for heaven's sake, I don't want this gold. But once you have taken a certain direction, you got a ticket, got into a, say, Jet Airways, Bombay to Calcutta, halfway through, you cannot tell the pilot, look, I want to go to Madras, Chennai. Because it's going to go there only. So once you take a certain path, you are stuck with it. Remember that. So we don't want to start with the wrong path. We have to very peacefully and quietly analyze all the possible alternates. And the path which gives us a guarantee, not a lifetime guarantee, but eternal guarantee. Because lifetime guarantee you can get from LIC. What is there in it? Just pay a premium and you'll get that. You may even get a bonus. But what is the value of that bonus? The value is it will go to somebody else, not to you. When you die, somebody else will benefit. You work like a donkey all your life and somebody else gets all the benefit. Maybe your children, maybe your wife, someone. But hopefully they'll be grateful to you. But what is the use of that? What we want is an eternal guarantee. Now the eternal guarantee is only given in this eternal book. Because eternal guarantees don't come from non-eternal. Eternal can only come from an eternal. Just as you can only get gold from a gold mine. You can't get gold from the some ocean or some sand or some other mine. Steel, iron or aluminium, bauxite. You'll get it only from a gold mine. So this is an eternal document. It's millions of years old. It is therefore most important that we stick to original. And therefore Prabhupada made it Bhagavad Gita as it is. Now we have been talking about this matter of death. So let us understand where this subject came up before. It came up in this document called Mahabharata. And there was a very nice king, as you all know, his name was Yudhishthir. You know the whole story, they were sent in the jungle and they were trying to drink some water. And these poor fellows, Arjun, Bhima, Sahadev, Nakul, tried to drink this water in a lake. They were told not to drink. They were cautioned by a voice, Yaksha, answer my questions, otherwise you'll die. But Bhima, he took out his gada and said, come forward, let me see how you kill me. But that's not the answer. And he fell dead. When Yudhishthir last went, because Mother Kunti was very, very thirsty. He was also very thirsty. But when he saw these four brothers of his dead on the shore of this lake, he was more than shocked. But this is the point. Never be shocked of death. Why? Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, do not lament for the living or for the dead. Have become sthita pragna. So Yudhishthir was sthita pragna. He was not shocked. He was not lamenting. And when the Yaksha said, your brothers died because they did not heed my words. Do not follow them. Answer my questions first and then quench your thirst. This pool is mine. So Yudhishthir was cautioned, don't drink this water till you answer my questions. So there are 17 questions Yudhishthir was asked. And Yudhishthir answered all these 17 questions beautifully. Do you want to know these 17 questions? Yeah? Okay? Alright, we'll go through them. Because these 17 questions are the most important questions that this Yaksha actually was the Lord of Death, Yamraj. So Yamraj, Lord of Death, is asking. Why am I talking about death first of all? Because Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, the guru of our Param Guru, Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami, what did he say about death? There are three things which are absolutely guaranteed, sure, and most important. What are the three most important things? Anybody remember? Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj's instruction to Prabhupada. Anybody in this room know? Gaurang Prabhuji? Anybody know? Bhakti Siddhanta said, be very careful. Remember these three things all your life. Will you all remember this? Okay. The most important three things are money in hand. I'm shocked. But that's what Bhakti Siddhanta told Prabhupada. Most important is cash is king. Money in hand. Coming from Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, that really shook me. But anyway, I'm following that. So, why should I argue? Why should I dispute that? This is the most important instruction. Cash is king, cash in hand. Recently we had in November 2008, the worst depression after 1929. And only those who had cash in hand survived. Here is somebody from the stock exchange. You agree? So, first thing is cash in hand. Second, mala in hand, mahamantra. So always have the Mahamantra in hand. That is your only guarantee, surety. And third, surprisingly, as sure as death. Death is guaranteed. So three things you have to be very careful about, and you have to be very careful to maintain also very carefully. One, cash in hand. Second is the holy name of the Lord. And third is preparation for death. That is why I am raising this point. Otherwise, I can't give you cash. I can give you the Mahamantra and I can't give you death. So at least I can give you one item out of three. So I'm only one third successful. But Lord will take care of all three. So here it goes. So Yudhishthir knew that these could be none other than the words of the Yaksha. And actually it was his own father. Yudhishthir's father is Yamaraj. So he guessed what had happened to his brothers. They did not answer, so they are lying there. So the voice put questions rapidly, one after the other, like bullets. They came very fast. What makes sun shine every day? Very nice question. What makes the sun shine every day? Anybody knows what makes the sun shine every day? This is the first question out of 17, and none of us know. The sun shines because of Brahman. What rescues man in danger? Anybody knows what can rescue you when you are in danger? Your danger can come. Padam padam vipadam. Lord Chaitanya says in Chaitan Charitamrita. Padam padam. It's there in Bhagavatam also. What rescues man in danger? Courage. Courage is man's salvation in danger. I was reading Shivaji Maharaj's book. Maharashtra government, Maharashtra Day, no? We had. So I got hold of the official document brought out by the first chief minister of Maharashtra. His name was Yasantrao B. Chavan. So the first thing he did, very wisely, our first chief minister of the state in 1st May 1960, was he appointed the best scholar to write a book on the lifetime of Shivaji Maharaj. And I was shocked to find out that he was not a Marathi-speaking person. But he was a Parsi Bhava. So, Karaka. Because he was an Oxford scholar who was an expert on history of India. And he said, you are the one. Karaka said, nahi Bhava, manani aavre aabatu. No, I'm not going to write about Shivaji Maharaj. He says, you do research, you'll find everything, and you write this. Only your book will be the official book of Maharashtra government print on Shivaji Maharaj. I have full faith and trust in you. So this Karaka gentleman wrote this beautiful book on Shivaji Maharaj because Yashantra Chavan wanted an unbiased book. And Shivaji Maharaj in that book shows one very great quality, courage, courage and courage. Because he had danger, danger and danger. And this is the answer. What rescues man in danger? Courage. So here is the embodiment of courage was Shivaji Maharaj. Then, by study of which science does a man become wise? My dear friend, IIT graduate. But study of which science does a man become wise? By the study of which wise? Not by studying any Shastra, Bhagavatam. Not by studying any Shastra, one becomes wise. It is by association with the wise that you get wisdom. Yudhishthir replies, association is the most important thing. Because you can get a Shastra, a book, but you won't understand a word of it. I'll tell you an example. I had a friend of mine and he wanted to learn medicine. He bought Gray's Anatomy, bought all these wonderful surgery books and all these books, 25 books, laid them on a table and said, after 5 years, I'll be a surgeon. Do you think anybody will open his stomach with that? Only by associating with surgeons, top-class surgeons, studying with them, you can become a good surgeon. Similarly, wisdom can only come by association. That's why Prabhupada built temples.
Not because Prabhupada felt that I will be glorified. Prabhupada didn't want any glory. Temples are built like these so that we can associate with people who are more advanced than us. Wisdom flows from a higher level. We have to get wisdom from Shastras, no doubt. But Guru and Sadhu are equally important. Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, when these three are in one line, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra in one line, that is called truth. The Yaksha then asked, what is more nobly sustaining than the earth? What is more noble than the earth? Yudhishthira replied, my favorite answer, mother. The mother is more important than anything, the earth. Because she brings up the children she has born is nobler and more sustaining than the earth. So the most noble is not a man, but it's a woman. What is higher than the sky? I mean, that's a very strange question. We thought that sky is the upper limit, highest. What is higher than the sky? The answer is the father. My God, I didn't know it. What is fleeter than the wind? What is faster than the wind? The mind. What is more blighted than withered straw? Blighted means more sorrowful. One who is very dejected, very unhappy. So who is most unhappy person? A sorrow-stricken heart. What befriends a friend, a traveler? When you're traveling, what is your best friend? Your learning. If you have learnt well, you become your best friend. Who is the friend of one who stays at home? The wife. Who accompanies a man at death? Dharma. That alone accompanies the soul in its solitary journey after death. The dharma is like embossed on the consciousness. Therefore, when the consciousness has the imprint of dharma, that is the highest and the best company. Which is the biggest vessel? The earth. What is happiness? Because everybody is looking for happiness, isn't it? Why are we working so hard every day to earn money? For what? Happiness. Why do we get married? So that we are happy. Or at least our children are happy. So they become happy. Why do we eat very good food? Because we want happiness. Nice, enjoyable food. So everybody is looking for happiness. So which is the... What is happiness? Happiness is the result of good conduct. So if you are not of good conduct, you don't get happiness. What is that? Abandoning which... man becomes loved by all. I think that's easy for us. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had drilled it into our head. Number three. Shlok number three. Repeat it. Tranadapi sunichena, tarorapi saishnam, amanina amanadena, kirtanya sadahari. So, pride, when you give up pride, you become loved by everybody. The question is, some people ask, why am I not getting loved? I'm so nice. I should be loved by everybody. I love everybody. But the fact is not that. The fact is because you are so proud sometimes, or I am so proud, that we throw people away by our pride. We push them away. Moment we become humble, we become loved by everybody. So the formula for getting loved or to get love, which is what everybody hankers, every human being is actually hankering for love. Happiness, filling your stomach, all that is bypass. That is just past of time. Again, you'll feel hungry. But if you don't have any love and affection in this world, you are not going to proceed further to love God. Because if you have not done the first step properly, how you are going to go higher up? So you have to love everyone. And the way you can love everyone and everyone can love you is if you become more and more humble. What is it that the loss of which yields joy and not sorrow? That in Hindi we say, jo ghum gaya, usse aapko fayda hoga. Now that is contradictory. If you lose something, you feel very happy. What is that? Anybody? Anybody knows the answer to that? Anger. If you lose anger, so the point is, that's what the Mahabharata says, you can lose anger. You see? So, the secret is, to lose anger, You must first become prideless. Because step number one was become less proud. Step number two is become more humble. And step number three is automatically you lose anger. You understood the formula now, all of us? Because very often we want people to lose their anger. We want ourselves also to lose our anger. Because kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsa. These kaam, lust, anger, greed, kaam, krodh, lobh, illusion, moh, mad, false pride, and matsa is jealousy or envy. Well, they are two different, but anyway, envy. So these six things are like chewing gum that sticks to the soul. To get rid of this, it is by losing our false pride and by becoming humble. 15. What is that by giving up which man becomes rich? It's a very strange question. If you give up something and yet you become very rich. So there is a question he asked Yudhishthir. So the answer is desire. Giving up makes man wealthy. Now I have seen proof of that in Srila Prabhupada. Because we fought a case. Giriraj Maharaj was authorized by the GBC to fight a case in Bombay High Court in 1978. And I was assistant to Giriraj Swami. And what was that case all about? Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada's eldest son, had filed a case on us, ISKCON. He is sab jo ISKCON ka property all over the world, all bank accounts, everything belongs to me. And he went to court. So that was my father and everything belongs to me. Fortunately, we had Prabhupada's will. I still have kept a photocopy. So the original went in the Bombay High Court. But I kept that photocopy with me because that's a very valuable document. I can give it to anybody who wants. So, in that, it is written by Srila Prabhupada that due to some circumstances, which we won't go into now, it's a long thing, at the end of 1965, September 5, he had 42 rupees. That's all. No dollars. Not $1. Not one red cent, as they say in America. He had 42 rupees and he had a stack of books and everything. And he went to America. From 42 rupees in 1965, when he left this world on 14th November 1977, 7.29 p.m. at Vrindavan, he had $660 million. That was the account. We had to submit to the Bombay High Court. Most of you may not realize. I don't think you can ever get such returns on investment. What is this ROE? What do you know? This is an expert here from the stock exchange. 42 rupees, not dollars, 42 rupees becomes $660 million. We had to give the whole world account to the Bombay High Court. And our lawyer was Mr. Vakil, P.R. Vakil. So, and Mahaprabhu Das, R.K. Maheshwari, was our assistant lawyer. He was a young man. Angry young man. So he's now angry old man. not angry old man. He's a wonderful person. Please accept my humble obeisances, Mahaprabhuji, in case you are listening or you hear later. But the fact of the matter is that we had to submit these accounts. And when I saw, I'm a businessman, when I saw these figures, you know, I could believe my eyes. Giriraj Maharaj, do you think this is true? He says, it's there. What can I do? The valuation was done in America, in Spain, in Portugal, in India, in South America, in Africa, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Fiji Islands. All over the world we got all the evidence, wealth of Srila Prabhupada. In how many years? 1977 minus 65. 12 years. 12 years, 14 times around the world. He had been 14 times around the world. 12 years. So 42 rupees becomes $660 million. So because he had no desire except to please his Guru Maharaj and carry out his order, he didn't think like our stock exchange expert would think that, see, I'm putting in now this. After 1 year, it must be this. After 2 years, it must be this.
I must get 17% or 20% return. Oh, sab kuch, he never thought of that. Actually, I don't think Srila Prabhupada even knew that there was $660 million all over the world. Actually speaking. I think his son must have got a heart attack when he heard that in the court. And he lost it all. Because Prabhupada, in so wisely, the last para in his will here said that my son will get 1,000 rupees a month. So that's what we had to give him. So we gave him and his family till his wife survived. So he took care of everyone. And he said, all this goes into trust. So that is how we are sitting here on trust property. So anger, giving up which we will no longer be subject to sorrow. If you give up anger, you do not get sorrow. That is the formula. And if you give up that desire to become rich, you become wealthy. It's very strange. If you give up the desire to become rich, you become wealthy. Getting rich is different and becoming wealthy is different. Okay. Then, what makes one a real Brahmana? Is it birth, good conduct, or learning? Answer decisively. Birth and learning do not make one a Brahmana. Good conduct alone does. However learned a person may be, he has to be learned in the four Vedas, but a man of bad conduct falls to lower class. 17 and the most important question. What is the greatest wonder in the world? I think everybody knows this, right? The greatest wonder in this world is everyday men see creatures depart to Yama's abode, and yet those who remain seek to live forever. This verily is the greatest wonder. Every day you are seeing somebody or the other, because the Samshan has no off day, you know. There's no off day. Samshan is open day and night. 365 and a quarter days. That quarter is also important because every 4 years you get leap year, one more day, February 29. So, that quarter is also there. Every day the Samshan is working overtime because population is going up, so death is going up. So, that is going on. The biggest business, growth business in this world is death business. So, we must know that these ovens which are made for burning people, those people will never go out of business. They will always be selling their ovens. So, this is the important thing. Death is certain. And therefore, we have to prepare for that. So, we will gain now, the human form of life is given to us only for one reason, and that is to prepare for an exam. And this examination is bound to happen. And that examination is called death. It's not something to be afraid of. Because we have had a lot of practice of exams, all of us who are in this hall, in schools, in colleges, etc. Even life itself is an exam. Every day we have problems. So, we have to solve those problems. So, here is a question of how to solve the problems. Here it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that by remembering the Lord, at all times, in everything, whatever may happen, good or bad, we should be grateful. The problem is that we are not so grateful. We are not even grateful to our father and mother, or father-in-law, mother-in-law, whoever is the elder in the family. That's a real problem. Our Radhanath Maharaj, always, 100 times I have heard him express his gratitude, right? He is, I know for a fact that people who have insulted him so badly, I have been there, if I had a sword, I would have cut off that fellow's tongue at that time, because I am a Kshatriya by nature. So, we are like that. But anyway, I have seen when Radhanath Maharaj was insulted so badly publicly once in 1993. He just folded his hand and walked off. That's all. Went to the airport and found the nearest plane and he got out. And today, that same person who was so ungrateful to him, he was more senior than him, he's helping him. To become back again into Krishna consciousness. Because that fellow, by aparad, Vaishnava aparad, you will only fall down. You can't go higher up. You see? So that is gratitude. That who was that? Lord Jesus Christ says, no, that if you are struck on the left cheek, offer the right cheek. So that is called gratitude. I'd like to read, now we don't have too much time, but I'd like to read a few very nice things that I have made notes. And since we are talking of Radhanath Maharaj and Vaishnav, one of the highest Vaishnavs I have met, Prabhupada says there are four principal attributes of a Vaishnav. Have you knowledge of that? Would you like to write down? What are the four principal attributes to a Vaishnav? First is self-control. I just mentioned to you about Radhanath Maharaj's matter. Highest level was Ramanand Rai. He was massaging bodies of young ladies when he was decorating them also. But he was absolutely in a trance and his mind was not agitated. Now, the secret is this Ramanand Rai was actually Arjun, but he was in the mood of Lalita. See, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, now we are going to the highest realm, like a PhD level course. Lord Chaitanya, everybody knows, he is who? Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, in the mood of Radharani. So, all the associates of Lord Chaitanya were somebody or the other who were associates of Lord Krishna, but they took the mood of a gopi. Now, this is the interesting thing. You follow, no? To assist Radharani. So, in the realm of mood, see, one is a physical realm and the other is the subtle realm. So, in this physical realm, on this earth, Lord Krishna appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in front of us 500 years ago. If we were alive, we would have seen him. But internally, his mood is Lord Chaitanya's mood is mood of Radharani. Similarly, all his associates, you'll notice in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they associate like Ramananda is Arjuna, but in the mood of Lalita, to assist Radharani. Okay. So that is why Ramananda Rai could not get agitated or he did not lose his self-control. Second, Vaishnavas are neutral. Damodar Pandit is the example. Was so much of a servant that if any devotee transgressed Vaishnava principles out of kindness of his heart, he would point out these transgressions. So he was neutral. A Vaishnava does not see that, oh, this is a rich man, let me spend more time with him. This is a poor fellow, hardly giving one naya paisa, 1 rupee every year to the temple. Why should I waste my time more than 1 minute? It's not like a taxi meter, you know. The more money you give to the taxi man, more distance he'll take you. No, the Vaishnava takes you to the same distance, whether you pay 1 rupee or you pay lakhs of rupees. Tolerance, that's very important, tolerance. Prabhupada used to say, tolerate. And the example is of Haridas Thakur. He tolerated being whipped in 22 marketplaces. And yet, at the end, he blessed those who were whipping him only. You see? So that's, and he was sorry for them, that they will be punished now because they couldn't kill him. So he appeared that he was dead to save the fellows who were whipping him from getting killed by the king himself. And the fourth most important is, humbleness, humility. Sanatana Goswami shows this. Though he was most qualified, he considered himself the most fallen. He went with the straw in the street, you know, and begged Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give him knowledge. Then Satchidanand Maharaj had stated something which I think is very important, and I made notes about the mind, because most of us want to know how to control our minds. Because mind is like a monkey. In the Bhagavatam it is stated, mind can be your best friend and your mind can be your worst enemy. So how to make your mind your best friend is very important. Because how to make somebody an enemy is very simple. The simplest thing on earth is to, you know, in Gujarat, in Bombay they say, ek gala gali de do, enemy ho jayega immediately. Just blame somebody for nothing, give him a bad word, you've got an enemy for life. But
how to make your mind best controlled. So he says, and he has given very good wisdom, in the mind there are three progressive steps of thinking. Most people think that there is one step to think in the mind. But no, the mind has three steps of thoughts. Thinking process is in three steps. The first step of thinking is the thought process. For instance, I am thinking right now that I am hungry. He gave the example. He is a sannyasi, but still he gave the example that I am thinking that I want sexual pleasure as a thought. Now that thought then becomes a feeling. Example, I feel hunger. You know, there's some sort of rumbling noise coming in the stomach. Or you feel weak because you've not eaten. And third is there is a willing process. So, the example is given is of Lord Shiva. He's Dhira. Lord Shiva, why he's important and some of these great saints? Because they can stop their thinking process at the first stage. This is very, very important. When somebody says something bad to you or you have a problem with someone, stop at the first stage of thinking. When somebody is doing good for you, continue on your process of thought. Do good to others. But why you should stop at the first stage when somebody is thinking ill of you is stop it from getting into action. Because from thought, by your mind, it will start controlling the various parts of your body, including your muscles. Somebody says something bad. I've seen a child or mother or whatever, father or whoever, and fat karke ek lafa laga deta hai. Just without thinking. It's instantaneous, almost like fraction of a second. You see that a lot in the TV these days. So, this is even a cricket player I was seeing the other day, within fraction of a second he has to catch a ball or he has to hit a bat with a ball or something. So he has no time to think really. If he keeps thinking that now I'll do this, I'll do that, then he'll be clean bowled. So since we are not in this cricket business, fortunately, we are in the business of getting home back to Godhead. That is our real business. And how to get home back to Godhead is to complete these three processes of thinking. Because if you stop at the first stage or the second stage, the third stage won't come and therefore you are not going to complete your business. Okay. So the first stage is planning stage or the thinking stage. Plan out your day. Plan out your life. Plan out how many rounds you are going to chant every day. Remember you have to do 3.5 crore rounds in your lifetime, this lifetime. How many you have done to calculate. How many you now want to do. Provided you live so long, and then make all out effort to live that long and complete your rounds. Second, always have a feeling for others to do good, because then only you will get the association. Association cannot come if you do bad to others. And third thing he said, Satchinanand Swami, that you must know how to control your mind and your thinking. Don't try to be thoughtless or mindless. Before taking into action, think 10 times and then do something, especially if it is going to have a long-term bad repercussion. So, can we end here because it's already time? And any questions or any comments I'd like to ask? Any comments or questions? Or most of you are bold already by this. Since we have no questions, so we'll end here. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Thank you.